Our text is Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Let us hear now God's holy and infallible word. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Turning now to our insert in the bulletin, would you follow as I read the Lord's Day of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, and our subject this evening, which is contained therein, true conversion. What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? Two things: the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. Question 89, what is the dying away of the old self? It is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. And what is the coming to life of the new self? It is the wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. What do we do that is good? Only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory, and not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. Beloved in the Lord, this evening we come to the last third of the Heidelberg Catechism, and we have already begun that last portion of the Catechism, and we are in that portion that introduces what it is that we are to do as Christians. What you will find in the last third part of the Heidelberg Catechism, remember its divisions, sin, salvation, and service. In that third part called service, we will find much practical application of the great doctrinal truths that were spelled out in the earlier part of the Catechism concerning our sin and the need of our salvation from it. This evening, we're going to look at the Catechism's subject on what true conversion is all about. And we found that explained for us in question and answer 88, telling us that true conversion consists of two things: the dying of the old man and the quickening of the new. And we will focus on that this evening as we look carefully at what Paul says in that same subject in Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, our text, is one of the texts that the writers of the catechism appended to the catechism to say, see, this is where we get this idea from when we say what we say in this question and answer, in other words, a proof text. And it spells out in Ephesians chapter 4 those two realities that occur in genuine repentance. The dying away of the old self, which in the old school and the old writers was called the doctrine of mortification, that is, the killing off or the dying off of the old self or the old man, and then the coming to life of the new man, which is the doctrine of vivification or coming to life in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul writes about in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, and we want to look at that. And we'll see what Paul says there, and we'll see that he agrees with the catechism, which also says in question and answer 89 that the dying away of the old self, as we begin to look at that, is composed of several things. First, we're truly sorry for sin. We hate it more and more, and we run away from it. That's what Paul means when he says true conversion is putting off of the old man. In fact, Paul in our text uses that language, put off, take off, and put on or take on, and he uses it in terms of clothing. He uses the term because it's easily understood. When he says put off, it's as though he were saying, take off that article of clothing. And when he says put on, it's as though he were saying, take and put on that article of clothing. Language that's easily understood. But the difficulty comes when we begin to see and to understand what he has to say. It's not clothing that he's talking about, but it's our life. Putting off, that's Paul's term. The catechism uses that term in terms of the dying of the old man, the unsaved person. The heartfelt sorrow for sin and the hatred for sin that we are to have. And Paul bases this term and this call to a new life of obedience on the fact that we are in Christ. Notice as verse 17, where we began, it opens, it says, now this I say and testify to you in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. What does that mean? Well, it means that at one time you did walk like the Gentiles did in the futility of their minds, darkened, verse 17, then 18, in their understanding, alienated from God and from the life of God and so on because of the hardness of heart. They become callous. He goes on and on to describe the life of the Gentiles, and what he is saying is, that's your former way of life. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. That is, in Christ, you have a new way of living, and you put off the old manner of life. Paul is writing to those who were born again, saved by grace, converted by the power of the gospel, a people who are to stop living in that downward moral spiral into sin that's described in verse 17 through 19 in those terms, hardness of heart, darkness, deadness to God, recklessness, and having rejected the truth of God. That's a long series of descriptions of the life of an unbeliever. But then comes that transition that we just read, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. You're to put off that old way of life. The only one who can put off the old way of life is the person who knows, as is the case here, that the old way of life and the old man of sin is dead, and that he is now alive in Jesus Christ. It's that teaching of the Bible that reminds us we are either in Adam and in sin, or we are in Christ and now in Christ, righteous because of the righteousness of Christ, saved by grace, and we belong to God. To those who are in Christ, Paul says, put off all of the remnants of that former way of life. And that involves what we said was the term mortification or in the words of the Catechism, a dying away to the old self of sin. And to you, and Paul applies that truth in this passage in that term that I suggested to you was associated with shedding your clothes or putting on new clothes. Here he wants us to shed the clothes of the old way of life. Whatever pertains to the former way of life is to be shed like a garment that is to be taken off and removed. Dying to the things that pertain to our old nature and fallen humanity that was corrupt and characterized by sin. And we are by nature sinful. We were born sinful. From the smallest child on up, we were born in sin, each and every one of us. And because we were born in sin, we like doing what we are told not to do. Even my lovely granddaughter, I have to admit, does have a sinful nature. Did something this last week she was told not to do. Fortunately, we have the grace to call it artistry, but we would used to say, don't write with a crayon on the wall. But as grandparents, we kind of laugh and we take it in stride. But you know, you can tell her don't do something and she'll go right on and do it. We're all like that. We're born that way. We're born with a propensity to do what is wrong and evil and sinful. We are, according to the biblical terminology, polluted by sin, depraved, corrupt. We are biased toward God and towards evil from birth. Toward God, we are biased with a bias of hatred. Toward evil, we are biased with a bias that leads us to do what is wrong and sinful. And Paul now says, because you're in Christ, put off that former way of life. Take it off like a garment that you take off and you lay it aside and you don't use it anymore. You cannot have it half off and half on. He wants it completely removed and take it off. And when you take it off, he says, be done with it. But you know what the problem is with old garments? Do you have any old garments? Maybe it's a favorite jacket, favorite pair of pajamas that somebody destroyed. We won't get into that. Favorite garment that you just like to wear it. Why do you like to wear it? It's comfortable. It feels good. It's familiar. Paul says that our sinful nature, though it's comfortable and we're familiar with it, and trust me, we are, and it's natural, it's a part of our natural life, we must shed it and we must get rid of it. We must remove it. And he gets into the details of what that garment is all about when he speaks of it, the lust and the pride and the anger and the bitterness that is to be shed like an old garment. And like an old garment, it is to be removed. Look carefully with me at verse 22 as he begins to tell us what that old self is all about. Put off your old self, which belongs to your, notice this, your former manner of life. He's reminding them, you're a Christian now. You're a believer now. You're changed, you're transformed by grace. So you've got to get rid of the things that were a part of your former way of life. A life that was corrupt through its deceitful desires. It would take us a while, but we don't have the time. We could look at the meaning of that word desires. And in this passage, it is the desires by which we are deceived and we fall into sin. In other translations, the word comes out in the term lust or lusts. It is a word that is now generally associated with something that means an evil desire, though all the time in Scripture it is not used in terms of evil. But in this case it is. Lust. Lust and desire that brings chaos into our lives when our normal instincts are controlled by those desires. And those desires and affections become things that remove us from obedience and service to God. The trouble with the world that we live in is that lust and desire is in control. It's the one thing that is responsible for all of our troubles as individuals, in married relationships, in families, and among relatives, classes of society, groups in industry, nations, big divisions of all kinds. It is the whole explanation of everything, as one author has said. I would agree. It wouldn't take long to see that evil desires, whether it's lustful evil desires or simply evil desires that corrupt us, are the things that cause family problems. Who here cannot attest to the fact that they have seen in our own families divisions between members of the family because of the desires, for whatever purpose, on the part of some individuals? We can certainly see that in our society and in industry, for there is a lust or a desire for power and wealth, and that lust and that desire for power and wealth has got it for some at the cost of the loss of life and even happiness for others. When this evil desire is in control, things go wrong. And the whole problem with these desires is simply this: God is not at all in our thoughts. That's the wrong use of desires and the lusts that Paul is aiming at in this passage. And he says, you've got to get rid, take off that old garment, get rid of those kinds of things. Because those things don't belong in the life of a Christian. And the failure to put away those kinds of evil desires is inconsistent with the claim of being a Christian. Do you claim to be a Christian, claiming that Jesus Christ died for you to rescue you from this present evil world, and you say, I'm a member of the body of Christ, then what must characterize you is that you must be putting off this old nature, this old man with its evil desires. And the problem among many Christians is that they don't want to put away all of the old life and be different from the world. And some have no desire to live for Jesus at all. But Paul says very strongly, very forcefully, what our catechism is talking about: mortify, which is the word to kill off. Get rid of that old way of life. And then he turns right around, and the second thing we want to look at is put on the new man, and he uses the same language of putting on a garment. And that's the meaning of our catechism, where in question and answer 90, it speaks of the quickening of the new man, which is a heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing us to take delight in living according to the will of God and in all good works. In other words, the catechism recognizes that a Christian is going to live for God and wants to do that because he wants to do it out of thankfulness. The new man created in Christ Jesus is to be like God in righteousness and in holiness. We are to have a new kind of life and a new garment, in the language of the Apostle Paul. Verse 24 in our text, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. Well, what is the likeness of God? It is true righteousness and holiness. We are to put on that righteousness and holiness as though it were a garment. And it is, of course, the righteousness and it is the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's rooted in our new creation in Christ, being saved by his grace, reflecting the fact that we belong to him. It's a new clothing. It's a new identity. Righteousness, doing what is right in relationship to God and men. Holiness, doing what is right in our relationship to God, living in his holy word, according to his holy word, and in our relationship with men, living in the light of God's word, in the manner in which he would want us to live. Through true repentance, and true sorrow for sin, we have come to experience that change, that transformation. We have been made new in Jesus Christ. And so if we really hate sin, we will forsake it, as our catechism writer tells us, and we will flee from it. If we don't hate sin, what we are saying is we really love it and we don't want to serve God and love Him with all of our hearts. But you see, it's that new birth. It's that power of God's grace and the transforming power of the gospel that enables us to put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ Jesus. And I want you to remember this as well. It is something that we are called to do. Now, I know that there has been through many years the teaching of some who say, just pray about the matter and you just sort of throw it in the Lord's hands and it'll all go well. And some people have coined this phrase, and I've shared it before. You've heard it a few times before. You have to let go and let God, as some say, putting it in the hands of the Lord. But in this passage and in other passages of the New Testament, Paul does not say, just put it in the hands of the Lord. He says, you've got something to do. You put off the old man. So if there's something that you need to deal with in your life that is a remnant of that old man, that sinful person that we were by birth, and because you're new in Christ Jesus, you don't say, well, Lord, you know, I've got this corrupt desire of lustful thoughts, or I'm coveting these things. I'm just going to put that in your hands, Lord, and I'm going to let you take care of those thoughts. Paul says, poppycock, or balderdash, or, well, actually what he says is, get to work. You do the work. It's not the Lord's work. You put off the old man. You put on the new man. There is no letting go and letting God, as though we just throw it in the hands of the Lord and He'll take care of it. In this aspect, in this part of what Paul is saying, we have some work to do. And he moves on from that general principle to give us five, what I like to call, nitty-gritty examples of Christian behavior which exemplify what our catechism calls us to do when it tells us to delight in living according to the will of God. Of course, we would all say, I would love to say, and each one of us would want to say, as a Christian, we delight in living according to the will of God. If the Apostle Paul were here, he might ask us in verse 25, what are you doing with the way in which you speak falsehood? Put it away. You get rid of it and speak the truth with your neighbor. In verse 26, he'll talk about anger. And in verse 28, he'll talk about stealing. And in verse 29, unwholesome talk. And verse 31, bitterness of the heart. Let's look at those ever so briefly, because they are examples of the Christian behavior that exemplifies living according to the will of God. This is how we put on the new man in Christ Jesus. We have to get rid of lying and speak truthfully, as verse 25 says. And the reason is simply because we are members of one another. We're Christians. The reason that we do things that we do or do not do things is because we have been made new in Jesus Christ. Christ came into this world to die for sinners, to redeem them and make them a new people, to give them a new life. And now we are to live that life for God. And to live our life for God means that we must put away all kinds of lying or falsehood, as verse 25 tells us. And the reason is that we must tell the truth, because we are a people who now belong to Jesus. One author said, among Christian people, such conduct should be unthinkable. We're the children of God, the children of light. We belong to the truth. We're the children of the one of whom it is written, God who cannot lie, and we are to be like our Father and tell forth His praises to manifest His virtues and glory. And we do so by putting away lying or falsehood and by speaking the truth with one another? Do you see the work that must be done? Verse 26, Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Here we are to put off all forms of sinful anger, the surging, the swelling kind of anger that leads to wrath, that ultimately leads to destruction, and we are to live as we are called to live in Christ Jesus. And we're not allowed to be complacent about that sin in our lives. Did you see what it says here? Be angry, do not sin. And then he says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. That means what it says. Because we have a tendency to kind of go our way, and that seething anger continues its work in our lives. And we become complacent about anger in our life. And that anger, if it is not attended to, can lead us to sin. The warning is against the wrong kind of anger in this passage. The ill-tempered, bad-tempered, irritable, sinful anger that unleashes its passion and sinful behavior against others and reflects the person we are to flee from, that is the old man. The kind of anger that, if left to itself, becomes malignant hatred in a bitter heart. Verse 28, Paul says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." When you become a Christian, if you've been a thief, you haven't really done all that you need to do if you say, "I stopped stealing." Because here the very positive aspect of what we are to do is revealed. We are not only to put off stealing and stop, that's the old man, but we are to put on the new man. And the new man, in the life of a thief in particular, is someone who is productive with his hands, who has given himself over to this new life, and now is doing something productive. There is something inherently shameful about stealing. It involves stealth. It involves concealment, whether it's stealing from the government on income taxes or stealing from someone outrightly. We look for opportunities when we are not being watched and no one is around, yet God is. And stealing involves the misuse of an ability that God has given to us, the use of our hands in this image, the amazing and wonderful instruments that God has given us to use for His glory. Paul says, don't steal, put off the old, but do something productive with your hands that you may have in order to give to those who are in need. That is reflective of our new life in Christ. And then look at verse 29, where Paul says, let no corrupting talk, or let no corrupt communication, as one translation puts it, come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. We're to put off, shed it like a garment, unwholesome talk. And we are to put on help, the kind of talk that will be a help to others in our conversation, our ability to interact with others. In the original Greek, the corruptness of this communication is a word that could be translated not just simply corrupt, but rotting. Reminds me of fruit that's been around a little too long. You know, it smells up the whole place, doesn't it? Or something else that's rotting. It's unwholesome. And he says, get rid of rotting talk that will corrupt and smell up the whole person. Or as James says, the tongue which will set the whole course of your life on fire. Have you ever wondered about the beautiful imagery of the Apostle James, who warns us about the strength of one of the greatest weapons that exist in the human race? The 6-inch instrument, or give or take a few centimeters, the tongue, which is able to do such utter and unbelievable destruction. And he says that is set on fire from the very fire of hell itself. We can use the tongue to bless, and we can use the tongue to curse. Paul calls us to put on the new man and use our tongues to bless, to edify, and to build up instead of to tear down. And then verse 31 and verse 32, he says in this passage, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander be put away. Take it off like a garment with all malice. And what are you to put on? Verse 32, put on kindness, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. That's what a Christian should look like. That's the clothing that should clothe the new life of a believer. Put off rage and malice and instead be clothed in love. You see, our task is to be like Jesus Christ. We are to put off these old ways of life. We are to put on the new. And then it remains for us to ask, what activities are you involved in feeding the new self, the new life? And how are you putting away the sinful practices of the old self? You see, what Paul is calling us to do in this passage, and what the Catechism speaks of when it speaks of true conversion, which consists of putting off the old and putting on the new, is simply this: to live like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that even though he was reviled by sinners, mocked and spit upon, his beard was plucked from him, he was beaten, and he was mercilessly hounded and brought to death, not one time did one word of corrupt communication proceed from his mouth. Jesus, in his earthly life, never stole. In fact, he never took or stole what belonged to him, the glory of his person as the eternal Son of God. He always told the truth, not one lie, not even a little teensy-weensy one like we say, it's a little lie, a little stretch of the truth. He didn't stretch the truth. He told the truth. He always told the truth. And you and I are called to lives that are to reflect the fact that we are united to Jesus. We're to live for him and for his glory. Because if we have been converted, that's the subject of the Catechism, true conversion, then there is a newness of life about us. A new life, a new direction, new inclinations of the heart, new affections, new desires. The old is gone, the new has come, and we are to live in the light of our new creation in Christ Jesus and to walk in a manner that glorifies God. And to do so, the Catechism is, as I've heard it said, spot on. In other words, absolutely right. We are to put off the old man, die to the old self, and we are to put on the new man in Christ Jesus. That's the evidence of our conversion, and that's the blessing that comes to us by the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us live in the light of God's truth in obedience to his word for the glory of his name. Amen.